Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm your host Brian Keane, online fitness coach, nutritionist, and three times best-selling author, here to help you by deconstructing expert guests on all things health, fitness, and mindset. Today's guest is a belter of a podcast with former WBFF world champion Hattie Boydell. Wow, we go wide and we go deep in parts of today's episode. And although I've titled it Hattie Boydell on gut health, body positivity, and improving the relationship with yourself, we touch on so much in today's episode. Now, there's one thing to note. Hattie is in Australia, so we have a little bit of chopping in parts of the podcast, but hopefully in post-production, we'll be able to clear up most of that so that you won't even notice. But there is some gold in today's episode. Some of the things we touched on was the training and nutrition mistake she made early on, but then we transitioned out to talking about her being bullied in school and how that turned into her becoming her own biggest bully, and then developing self-compassion and improving your relationship with yourself. We also talk about the importance of body positivity and how that feeds into self-love, and switching from that punish myself or punish yourself mindset to a holistic approach to nutrition and fitness. We also talk about how to get curious with your common thoughts and how to learn from them, and why she competes and the benefit it brings to her life. Now, they are just some of the points we touch on, because we go wide and we go deep in this podcast. So without further ado, I will let you jump in to this episode that has a wide range of value that I'm going to be going back and listening on myself. Without further ado, doubling it over, WBFF world champion Hattie Boydell on gut health, body positivity, and improving the relationship with yourself. Enjoy. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today with my guest, Hattie Boydell. Hattie was the 2016 World Beauty, Fitness and Fashion WBFF World Champion, is a body positivity advocate, motivational speaker and businesswoman. She's the owner of popular online and coaching program, The Sports Model Project, and she is on a mission to empower women to be the best they can be, hoping to inspire them to push their boundaries when it comes to weight training, healthy living, competing on stage, or simply being the best version of themselves. I'm looking forward to talking all things fitness, mindset, and nutrition in today's episode. Hattie, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Ryan. Hi, everyone.
Hattie, I really want to unpack body positivity, holistically supporting women, some of the stuff you put up on gut health as we go along, because you've got some great content that's supporting so many people on social media, on Instagram, and in other interviews you've done. But before we do any of that, talk to us a little bit about your backstory and what kind of got you into the world of fitness.
Well, I guess, you know, Brian, I always laugh. I've done more training in my life than I've done anything else. And I was put into gymnastics at a really young age. I was 4 years old. Being an athlete from a really young age, I became an elite gymnast. I was training down the AIS to 32 hours a week, you know, at 12 years old, of gymnastics morning and night. And so I had a really strong athletic background for most of my life. And it pretty much was an introduction to, I literally could do every sport under the sun except for catch balls. I was just never good at ball sports, but anything that was athletics, swimming, aerobics, diving, track and field, I could do. So I did that growing up, and I'm really grateful because gymnastics taught me a lot of, I guess, qualities and tools that I use to this very day. Like, it taught me discipline. It taught me to be very process driven, to learn how to essentially go through levels. Like, to get to level 10, I had to go through, you know, level 1, level 2, level 3. I had to master things. I had to work things. I had to fail forward. And these are things that I use as an adult now. And it's interesting, I didn't start weight training till I was 17. I feel like that's early, but it's not early. So 17 years old, and I was introduced to weight training by actually a security guard. I used to go out underage with my sister, and I did it because I'd actually suffered from anorexia for a couple of years in my teens. And I remember coming out of hospital and my mum just said to my sister, "Emma, take Hattie out." So she used to take me out, you know, to all the clubs, and, you know, all the security guards would be like, "Oh my God, look at your calves or your legs." And they'd take me out weight training, and I got introduced to weight training and also introduced to, I guess, feeling empowered in the weights gym, in the weights area. And it was quite a it was quite a big moment for me because I used to do just a lot of cardio. I never really experienced what it felt like to lift something and lift something that was scary and heavy. And fast forward a few years, I got introduced to Australian strength coach. I don't know if you guys know him, Sebastian Orib. And he introduced me to strength training. And that was a really big turning point in my life. I was competing at like the age of 21 and I was doing it at a very amateur level. And it wasn't till really I was introduced to him that I took things to the next level. So fast forward, you know, 10 years later, 15 years later, I'm still doing it. I'm still very much in the fitness game and love it more than ever and feel incredibly, I guess, empowered by it. But I've learned a lot from bodybuilding, that's for sure.
With the training element, I'm very curious. You mentioned there that you did a lot of cardio starting out. With training, Hattie, is there something else that you know now that you wish you had known back then when you started?
Everything. I got my nutritional advice from, you know, Marie Claire magazines and really unhealthy advice is probably what I would say. When I first started weight training, I was just doing anything and everything. And for even in my amateur years of competing, I mean, I didn't start following a program till I started competing, and that was in 2011. And I'd been training, you know, 4 years prior to that, but it was all about shock the body, you know, like, got to be sore all the time and shock the body. And I never used to train my legs because at that time in my life when I was really young, my boyfriend at the time called me Thunder Thighs and the Hulk. So I thought, oh, I better not train my legs. I train my legs more than ever now. I'm trying to get bigger legs. So it's quite interesting how things change. And oh God, Brian, there's so many things. Like, you know, I follow a flexible dieting approach now. And back then it was restrict everything, you know, possible. It make it as hard for you, as hard as I could for myself. It was all over the shop. There was no structure. It was nothing like I follow now. So I kind of regret not having a coach when I first started training, but I guess these lessons that I have learned.
With the philosophy, you said something really interesting there, Hattie, that I want to pick up on because I resonate and connect to myself. I competed in bodybuilding. I was in the WBFF for a while and then did a complete 180. Now I do ultra marathons and triathlon and things along those lines.
Oh my God.
Yeah, went to complete down the other side. We won't get into that though. But you mentioned there, because it connected with me, that you'd make it as hard for yourself as possible. And when I was competing, I had a very similar mindset. So the last show I did was the 2015 Worlds in Vegas. And I had that, you make it as hard for myself as possible. But now, and before competing, I always focus on that process-driven mindset that you mentioned earlier, that failing forward, that going to step 5 and then to step 6 before you can get to step 10. Why do you think you made that switch to making it as hard as yourself as possible? Because it goes against the process-driven mindset. It kind of goes into outcome-driven. I'm very curious from your personal experience as someone who's done it myself exactly like that. How come you made that switch? Or was it something that just happened unconscious that you just kind of fell into and had to rewire it and change it based on, you know, experience of it not working?
To be honest, I think in that time in my life, I was still very, it felt more like exercise than training. So I make two different definitions of like exercise and training. Exercise is to burn calories. There's no structure. There's no progression. It's specific. It's skill-based. It's process-driven. It's progression-driven. And the time in my life where I wasn't process-driven was because I was still very punish-driven. I was still very pain-driven. I hadn't fully recovered mentally from having an eating disorder. I still had a very wobbly relationship with myself. I definitely didn't appreciate who I was as a person. That came a little bit later. So what, obviously your state creates your story, how we live our life. Like I said, it wasn't for performance. It wasn't for progression. It was pain-driven. It was fear-driven. It was not worthy-driven. So it wasn't really like, it really wasn't till 2014 when I did meet Sebastian Orib and he introduced me to strength training, which let me tell you, I really struggled with because it was sit down for 4 minutes after your set. And, you know, I was so used to just never resting, always sweating. Like I said, exercise driven, calorie driven, unprocessed, yeah, I'm like just not process driven. And, but what it showed me was, hey, you have this amazing machine, and if you just look after it and if you just give it what it's what it needs, you can turn it into something pretty phenomenal. And it really did, it opened up a whole new world to me. And I also started to look at flexible dieting and go, I'm so sick of being limited by what foods I'm allowing myself to have. I still didn't really appreciate what food could do to my body in a really beneficial way. And I'd been competing for like 2 years, but again, it was that very bodybuilding style, cut out this, do it like this. And so I recognized that I still wasn't really fully enjoying the experience as best as I could. I knew there was something better. I knew there was something more. So strength training and looking at food as fuel and learning to do flexible dieting or macro tracking, whatever you want to call it, was like a huge life-changing experience for me.
One of the biggest things that connects me with your content is your message on body positivity. And it makes so much sense. As you said, mess becomes your message is the language I would use on that. But that process driven, that punish driven, that pain driven philosophy, was that the seed for that switch towards more body positivity, or was it something completely different?
I had this epiphany. I had this aha moment. And I mean, there was a few things, there was a few layers, but I remember, Brian, I used to have really unhealthy habits, like when I was 17 to maybe even 21. And I used to compare myself to everyone. I wanted to be everyone but myself. And I just remember having this moment where I was like, you know what, Hattie, you're not going to be anyone but yourself. So why not just try and be the best version of you? And it really was just this almost like this out of body experience. And I started to, you know, change the way I trained. It was performance driven. It wasn't about the way I looked. It was about how I performed. And naturally my physique was changing and evolving because I was nurturing it. I was challenging it. I was letting it recover. I was feeding it the right amount of nutrients. How do I look after myself for the rest of my life? What does that look like to me? It was about how I performed. It was all about how do I be able to do everything else that no one else can do? So it really did start with my, like, changing my mindset, changing my, you know, how I experienced myself, really getting to know myself, Brian, on another, like, another level, so that I could push myself to my limits. And that's where the body positivity came, because I got to see, I actually got to experience my body for this amazing machine that it is. Like, I started doing crazy numbers in the strength room, and naturally my body, even though that wasn't the main focus, obviously that changed because I started to nurture it and love it and, you know, actually have rest days and push it to its limits without over punishing it. So the intention around why I trained completely changed.
That's so interesting. And something I've been thinking about and continuing with recently is, you know, not what we do, but why we do it. And as somebody that had that same mindset of that pain driven, punish driven, I need to punish myself for me, a pure lack of self-compassion. But you mentioned there about comparing yourself to everyone. How did you go from zero to one with that, Hattie? Because a lot of people struggle either with comparison mode with everybody, or just one or two people, or people online or offline. With your zero to one in terms of how you got up and running with that, because that's a very difficult thing to stop doing. What was your process for that, or what did that look like for you when it comes to removing that comparison with everybody else?
Okay, you're probably going to laugh at me, but so I used to sit there and compare myself to people for hours. And when I had the moment of, hold on, you're not going to be that person. You can only be yourself. I recognized that all the time that I spent trying to look at someone else, be like someone else, I lost that time working on myself. And that time is really, really valuable. And at the end of the day, I can't control what anyone else does. I can only control what I do. So that's where the focus should be. And I can only be my greatest version of myself. I can only outperform myself. I can be inspired by other people. I can be motivated by other people. I often say to my girls, be motivated of what's humanly possible, because, God, there are some amazing athletes and just people in general in this world that we can go, wow, that is what is humanly possible if we train it, you know, in the right way. And so I began to essentially look inwards and go, okay, what are my weaknesses? What are my strengths? What are my goals? What's the vision that I have for myself? Okay, what are the qualities that I have to exercise? What are the habits? What are the process? What are the behaviors? What are the rituals that I have to exercise on a daily basis to step into the vision that I have for myself? Because that's what I can control. And, you know, I said it was my birthday in January and I laughed and I said, the only good thing about getting older is that I get to spend more time with myself. And that is true. I've, you know, who I am now, I'm so grateful for all the hard lessons that I've learned, for the, you know, the mistakes that I've made, the challenges I've overcome. You know, we're all going on our own journey and everyone's is unique, but isn't it interesting that we can have similarities between, you know, even you and I, Brian? There were things that I said and you're like, oh, that resonates with me. We're two totally different people, but we have our own experience, but there are some similarities between our experience. And, you know, when I look at a human, I want to keep evolving. I want to keep transforming. So it's not just physical. It's the internal and the external and the spiritual and the emotional that are all evolving together, or as best as I can together. So that's, you know, when I look at relationship with self, it's like, well, what are all the different parts of a human being? What makes us whole? Okay. How do I work on all of those and honor all of those so that I can continue to evolve?
I love that. I'm very curious with the comparison mode as somebody who has to set up systems, you know, keeping myself from myself, your own worst enemy. Like, I don't go on social media for the first 2 hours of the day. I don't go on it for the last 2 hours at night, and I don't go on it the weekends generally outside of book promotion stuff, etc. Do you have any systems that stop you jumping back into that comparison mode?
Oh, I actually don't have any systems. It's more like it's just being conscious, I think. Being conscious and, you know, when we compare ourselves or when we feel insecure or inferior or we have fear, it has nothing to do with the other person and everything to do with ourselves. And that's what I'm constantly reminded of. And it's like, okay, I've said to myself, how do I be invincible? The truth is I'm never going to be invincible, but I can practice and learn skills and use and have tools to essentially continue to work on myself and look at my blind spots. But I think it's just catching myself. You know, when I'm competing, I mute my competitors, because again, at the end of the day, what I do has nothing to do with them, and what they do has nothing to do with me. If I'm competing, the person I'm trying to outdo is my last physique. You know, the person I'm trying to outdo again is myself. I can only step on stage as my greatest version, not my greatest version of someone else. So I guess it's just being a little bit more conscious. Sometimes we have to be really honest with ourselves. That was something that I really, you know, we can lie to everyone else, but we can't lie to ourselves. And I think we have to recognize when we're practicing behaviors that don't serve us, or using language that is not, I don't want to use the word positive. It's not about being positive, but it's not setting ourselves up for success, or laying ourselves, you know, laying down foundations for ourselves, or even having some self-compassion, then, you know, we just become our own self-bully. And it's funny, I was bullied as a primary, like in my primary years. I didn't have any friends when I was in like primary school. And there's a very strong part of me that's grateful for that, because I would never bully anyone else in my life. But I became my own bully, you know, in the turmoil years, in the years where I was punishing myself. And I recognized that. And I'm like, well, I'm an adult now. And if I'm comparing myself to others, I essentially become the bully again. So at the end of the day, it's just becoming a little bit more, you know, aware of what our habits and behaviors are. Even what drives us to compare is something that, you know, I kind of investigate and look at. And something that I learned from the neuropsych that I've been working with for the last 3 years that we have in the Sports World Project is that one of the best things we can do to ourselves is just be curious about ourselves. Just be curious about our actions, about the language that we use, how we respond to people, to environments, even to ourselves. And that really got me interested in all of my behaviors and why I did things. And from there, I was able to make some really big changes. But I guess circling back to your question, Brian, is I don't have any systems. I just try and practice being a little bit aware if I'm, you know, why I'm spending time here. But I just don't tend to do it anymore. Thank God.
I think that's very encouraging for people, as, again, somebody who originally set up those systems several years ago, that in combination with trying to heal my own relationship with social media so that I could make sure it was serving my life as opposed to hindering my life, which definitely can be a catch-22 with people with social media. But feel free to think about this, Hattie, because you mentioned something there that I've been thinking a lot about recently, about getting curious about ourselves, something that I have been contending with and thinking about for probably the last 12 or 18 months is not dissimilar to the language you used there, that bully in your head. You know what? It's similar. Like another thing we connected with, I was bullied in secondary school. So I totally get that feel and that vibe. And when you said, well, you know, you become your own bully, I'm like, oh, fuck, that landed. Like, because something I've been curious about is why that language and that inner drive that comes from me is so coming from a place of pain, coming from a place of hate, coming from a place of discompassion with myself. But when it comes to being curious about yourself, what comes top of mind? What's something that you've been thinking about recently, that either language you've been speaking to yourself that you've been trying to change, or just something that, oh, that's came up now, that's something I might have to look into, or a behavior that might not be serving me, or a thought that might not be serving me? When it comes to something that's been curious about yourself based on the reflection you've been doing, what's top of mind at the minute?
Gosh, okay. I am always, I have a repetitive, I guess, behavior around time. Like I misjudge time all the time, and I end up chasing my tail, and then I get frustrated with myself and I'm like, why do I keep doing this? Why am I not, you know, leaving buffers between meetings, or, you know, why am I trying to pack too many things in my day and then becoming flustered and then not enduring my experience of rushing from one thing to the next? And again, I was speaking to my friend who's a neuropsych, and I'm like, you know, Michelle, why can I be so conscious in some areas and so unconscious in others? And she's like, it's actually not possible to be fully conscious all the time. Human evolution would never survive. It's too energetic. It's too costly energetically. And I was like, oh, this, okay, cool. This makes sense. Because sometimes I feel like I'm so aware. And other times I'm like, where the hell was I just then? Like, I'm not anywhere to be, like, I don't even remember doing that thing. So again, it's like, okay, what are the, I'm always curious about the behaviors that I, the mistakes that I make, I think is a better way of putting it, and going, okay, where did I not set myself up for success? Did I repeat something here? Did I do that thing again where I tried to cram everything in one day? Or even did I do that thing where I said yes to too many people because I didn't want to let them down, but at the expense of my own boundaries and my own, I guess, energy. So they're probably a few things that have been crossing my mind lately.
Definitely some food for thought for people as well, in terms of get curious about what you're thinking about, and a lot to unpack there. But I'm going to take it in a slightly different conversation or different direction, because one of the things I did want to touch on in this podcast, and it's going to seem like a complete sharp left turn for you and all for listeners, Hattie, but I want to talk about gut health, because you put out some really good stuff on this, and I know it's something that you have a particular interest in based on companies and web promotional stuff and content you've created. But talk to me about gut health and how that's had an impact on you. And I bring this up for a very specific reason, partly as someone who has a history of gut issues and is very interested and curious about the topic, but also because of your background with fitness and, you know, the WBFF and fitness modeling and things in that realm. Normally, what we don't associate with that is the body positivity movement, which I love, but also the gut health and the kind of holistic approach to lifestyle and nutrition in general. Again, something that I really connect with in terms of your message, which is very different to what a lot of people in that specific area are putting out. Talk to us about gut health though, and how that, and why that's something that you speak about, or why it's something you're connected with.
Yeah, so I was actually introduced to gut health by my parents. My mum was doing a lot of clinical trials, and I remember mum coming to me and going, you have to try this stuff. And at the time, I was actually suffering from some real issues in my gut, and I really didn't want to take antibiotics. And just like everything, I'm always from the inside out. That's, you know, if I think about mindset to physical, it was, I had to change my mindset before my body could change. That's how it's always been. So again, if we're looking from the inside out, your gut, like if your body is not, if your gut's not healthy, it's not digesting your food. As an athlete, we put so much stress, or athletes, we put so much stress through our body. And there's a lot of toxic waste that comes with a lot of training, you know, and a lot of protein. And for people that are on meal plans, you limit your variety. That's can cause long-term issues. You know, the less variety we have, the smaller, I guess, nutrients that your body sees. And if you think of the gut like a ecosystem, right, it needs lots of different varieties of fruits, grains, seeds, nuts, proteins, fats, all that kind of stuff coming in for the ecosystem to thrive. And when we start to limit our food groups, then we start to die off those, you know, those little ecosystems. So I was really interested, again, in how do I optimize recovery? How do I keep being able to train as hard as I can and recover and get the result I want? And it came down to, well, what's the quality of your gut? So I have Gut Performance, which is, it's actually a food. So everything about it is 100% food. It's scientifically developed. We've got heaps of clinical trials that are posted on the blog. And we just had the most amazing testimonials, specifically from people who suffer from IBS, and which IBS, diarrhea, also constipation, women with endometriosis, because they've got so much, it's got such, I guess it has insoluble and soluble fiber. And what that was doing was minimizing a lot of the inflammation that was happening with girls with PCOS and endometriosis. So we had a lot of amazing testimonials come through with that. And look, my body's really healthy. I get an abundance of nutrients coming in. I am very big on variety, my fruits and vegetables and all kinds of proteins. I feel like I'm very healthy, but I still take this every single day just to essentially be like the icing on the cake to my health overall. So I have noticed that since I've taken it, like I feel better. I'm regular every day. I don't get bloated. I've noticed when I haven't taken it. So if I've run out of it when I've been overseas, I just don't feel as good. But I guess it just, yeah, it goes down to how do I support my body from the inside out, and Gut Performance and just gut health came about, and something that was really important to my overall lifestyle.
Yeah, and I'll link that in the description for people as well, for Gut Performance, the natural prebiotic super mix in particular. With the gut health, do you find, Hattie, that when you're preparing for photo shoots, for shows, etc., that you need extra support with your gut health? And I ask that reason as somebody that has a history of gut health issues and gets considerably worse when I used to prepare for shows or photo shoots back in the day, or even now in the lead up to kind of ultra events when my training goes way up. Do you find that it's something you have to be a little bit extra conscious of, or is it just manageable now throughout the year, regardless of what you're doing, or how does that look for you?
I mean, so when I'm comp prepping, obviously food gets lower and output gets high, but I tend to take Gut Performance twice a day. So I'll have it first thing in the morning and then I'll have it in the afternoon. And for two reasons. One, I get to push my food out a little bit longer because the fiber keeps me full. But I do notice, obviously, as less food is coming through the body, there can be I'm actually pretty lucky, but I guess I do it for support. So I do find that when I'm dieting in my comp preps, I'll take it twice a day rather than once a day. But I tend to take it, you know, 365 days a year. And then I also get variety in my fruits and vegetables, like I said, so that I aim to get around 30 different fruits and veggies into my diet over a month. Nutritionists say you should get it in a week. I definitely don't do that. So the next best option for me is getting it in over the month, because I am trying to, I guess, like I said, support my microbiome and minimize any food intolerance happening, and again, keeping myself regular and feeling good and getting, you know, lots of different micronutrients coming into my body while I'm training so hard.
Yeah, I think it's the one area of fitness in particular, that whether you're at the very start of your journey looking to lose 100 pounds all the way up to ultra endurance athletes, bikini competitors, fitness models, physique, bodybuilding, gut health is so important along that entire spectrum. But I want to pull it out and go into competing and the prep in particular. Before we do, I want to kind of layer it on the foundation, Hattie, because this is something that even in the research of this podcast, and I've been following your page for quite a while, but I did obviously a deeper dive in preparation for the podcast. But one thing that I couldn't come across, or I couldn't quite find, maybe it is out there and I just couldn't get it, was your reason for competing. What does competition or what does prepping do for you?
That's a really great question. So originally when I started in 2011, I really didn't know much about it. And let me tell you, in 2011, it was very different. I was an elite gymnast, like I mentioned, and I loved competing. So this was like, this competing as a fitness competitor or a bikini competitor, it really scratched the itch for me. I was competing and I trained towards something. That was really very much in my amateur years. I really fell in love with the sport when I became a pro athlete and I started strength training and I was able to push my body. You know, I looked at my body in a very different way. Like I mentioned, like I literally was like, all right, I'm using this amazing machine. I'm going to make the most of it. And now for me, competing is, I just absolutely love the growth, the challenge, the discipline, the focus. Seeing what my body can do is just outstanding. I just have so much appreciation for the human body, especially mine, because I get to train it, I get to use it, I get to push it, I get to experience it. And it's very much, for me, it's very much self-love. It's not an identity, which is interesting. It's not an identity at all, but it's just something where I can outperform myself, I can outdo myself, I can show myself what I'm, you know, what I could possibly do if I rip down all the limitations. So I very much have fallen in love with pushing myself to my greatest limits, but also, you know, exercising self-love and, you know, at the end I get to showcase this amazing physique that I've worked on. But it's interesting, Brian, the stage part is the least fun for me. I get so nervous, but I love the training. It's all about waking up every day with this purpose, with this passion, with this drive, with this fire, with this grit. And I've just really fallen in love with this sport. And people don't say you're an athlete, but you know as much as I do the amount of work that goes into getting on stage. You are training like an elite athlete. You are eating like an elite athlete. And I've just grown and learned a lot from bodybuilding.
Yeah, you see a frequent trend when I was competing. Now, I, a little bit different to you, probably competed for the wrong reasons. And definitely the last few shows, it was purely down to, I think, channeling and just running away from things. And the training several hours a day, massive caloric deficits for me, switched off any anxiety I had because I was just too tired to think. Mm-hmm. And so my reason was different. My partner competes and she's the opposite, way more closer to you in terms of she loves the process and is very much into that. But it didn't work like that for me. But I am very curious. I'm not going to ask what your favorite show was or your favorite prep was, because I'm going to probably assume that it was one of the more successful ones. But I am going to ask, do you have a favorite failure when it comes to competition or prep, or even a show that you didn't necessarily make? And what I mean by favorite failure is one that at the time felt like this is a problem, this is potentially a failure, but actually set you up, what I call, you know, the seed of failure, planting the tree for future success. It actually set you up for success down the line. Do you have any particular favorite failure when it comes to competition or just prep in general?
I think my greatest failure or seed of failure was losing the crown in 2017. It was a really, really tough moment for me and I was very sad. And a big part of that, the suffering, was because I felt like I'd let everyone else down. I felt like I'd let everyone who believed in me down. And the truth was that was just a story that I suffered in, because I couldn't have had any more love and support and appreciation messages, you know, when I lost it. And what it did show me was I was a champion, and a champion is not just what we are on stage, but how we are, how we live, what we do in our daily process. And it just flipped a lot of my things, are like just different, I guess, limiting beliefs. And it just completely changed my perspective on competing and what it is to be a champion. So I also recognized that I didn't appreciate, the truth is, when I won the world titles in 2016, I didn't really think I was good enough. I questioned whether I really should have won. So losing the crown really, it was like, it's funny. I lost the crown and then I realized I was a champion. I won the crown the year before and I questioned whether I was a good enough champion. But like I said, the truth is, a champion is what we do every single day in our process, in our behaviors, in our mindset. And I almost had that big universal slap in the face to show me that. So that's probably, yeah, my biggest failure or seed or learning experience.
It's great. It's amazing too, isn't it? That it's not until the reflection off the back end when you lose something, when you realize that actually now I am what I'm supposed to be in terms of that champion mindset. Hattie, with that, if to use that language, that's something I've used in the past with athletes when I've had professional athletes on, whether it be boxers or bodybuilders or bikini athletes or people in a specific sport, I use that language, that champion mindset. What's one or two habits that you do daily that supports that mindset of being a champion? And I think the reason I ask that question is when we see what other people do, whether that's you or somebody else who's very successful in any particular area, there's normally these grounded automatic habits that we've formed that to other people are like, oh my God, I need to apply that or do that. But what's one or two of the habits you do every day that supports that champion mindset?
The morning is always for myself. So I set myself up with a meditation, some sort of writing. I really enjoy like writing out things that I have to achieve that day. And the language that I use is, you know, what I will achieve today. So I'm essentially telling myself from the morning that this is what's going to happen. My week is very organized and structured. I honor, you know, I always say I've got an athlete part. So I honor the athlete part by eating at structured meal times, at honoring my training, priming my mind, my body before I start lifting, always focusing on outperforming myself in some way. And I really enjoy writing. Like, I really feel that writing is a very powerful way for us to tune into ourselves and to declutter our mind, but then also to organize ourselves. So a lot of people feel a bit lost or down when living for me, I appreciate, or I feel like my greatest sense of happiness is when I'm living the standard that I set myself, and that is just doing the things that I said I would do, you know, and then being able to measure it and mark it off. So that was a long-winded answer to your question, but I guess two things that I find really powerful is journaling and writing, and also creating like checklists. Giving yourself space. That's a big one as well, space.
What does space look like for you? Is that just taking the morning to yourself to go for a walk or to meditate or to listen to music or a podcast? What does taking space look like for you?
Sunrise. Getting up for sunrise and just sitting on the beach, getting up sunrise, doing some breath work, meditation. Journaling gives me space. And just sitting, not on the phone, and like, I love staring into the sky. I find it really therapeutic. So yeah, they're probably my favorite things to do, really.
With that then, what's something that you're most excited about right now? I know you're doing a lot of stuff, whether it's through social or through business and helping people and serving people in a very meaningful way, and alongside the fitness element of prep, etc. But what's the thing that has you most excited or jumping out of bed at the minute?
I'm getting ready for the world titles. I'm stepping into figure, so I'm going up a category, so that's really exciting because the fire's in my belly. So training's very there's a lot of intensity in there. What else? You know what, I just feel really happy at the moment. I'm feeling very accomplished in just like daily activities. The Sports Water Project is thriving. We actually do a full team photo shoot. So we get girls ready for like a daily, like a big event. All the girls come together. They fly from all over Australia. Some girls fly from overseas, and we get them ready for their like a photo shoot. And that's just a really cool event that I love doing. And that's happening in April. Got the WBFF shows happening in Australia as well, so I get to meet everyone. I'm going to start my own podcast, which is very exciting. That's something I've been wanting to do for 4 years, and I've just kind of haven't done it except for this year I started. So getting that together, and that's probably like the things that I'm most excited about.
Oh, talk to me about the podcast. When is the kind of expected release and putting those out? That'll be a really exciting thing. I'd be really looking forward to connecting more people to that too, because of the self-awareness that you bring to yourself and to others. I think that'll be very beneficial. When's that looking like timeline-wise?
I've given myself a timeline by the end of February. So I've recorded the first one. Just got to do a bit of editing. And I guess, you know, part of me goes, it's not just going to be like another fitness podcast. Stuff we've spoken about today, Brian, is like, what does the whole human experience need? Like what are the human needs? And because there are things that I can't really talk about on my social media, or I don't feel comfortable talking about on my social media. And I felt like, well, there are things I enjoy talking about. So why not create an environment where I can? And so I'm really excited because I love talking about relationship with self, and, you know, even things like sex and meditation and motivation and neuroscience and mindset and all the different mentors, I guess, I've had in my life as well, and really interesting people that I know that the world doesn't quite know about yet that I really want to introduce. So that's something that I'm really, really excited about. And at the end of the day, it's like, I didn't start because I was like, what if it's not going to be good enough? And it's like, well, how will you ever know if you don't do it? Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? Well, nothing really. The worst that's going to happen is no one's going to listen to it, but I doubt it's going to happen.
I love that. And thankfully, we're recording this for people listening on the 8th of February. It's going out either end of February or very early March. So I'll post and link the podcast for people. So head over and subscribe or follow, because I think, Hadi, that is going to be and people listening to this will know that although we've just touched on some of the topics today with relationship to self and overcoming challenges and that compassion mode and being more self-compassionate, all of those topics alongside everything else you mentioned there, like neuroscience and the sex and everything else, I think that's going to be an amazing listen for people. So after listening to this episode, I highly recommend people head over, subscribe, follow, and support you. I think there's going to be so much for it. I just have a couple more questions, Hadi, and I want to just park on the podcast. Yeah. Out of just curiosity, as somebody that's been doing this a long time now, since 2016, so been podcasting for several years, what was the biggest inspiration for that? Was that down to the communication style of social media? One of the reasons I started the podcast initially was the short form content online and being misunderstood, where I wanted to go longer form and then, you know, talk to other people and bring awareness to their content. What was your inspiration? Like, what's the primary driver for the podcast? Is it just to scratch your own itch similar to competing, or is it because of the kind of lack or constraints that can come from things like Instagram and other social media platforms? What's your reason or inspiration for it?
Well, a bit of all of the above. I mean, there is definitely a selfish element to it, because I just love a good chat, and I love having a good chat to people that I know. But also, I felt like there's a limitation to what I could post. And, you know, as an example, if I want to talk about sex, it gets so misunderstood, or people find it offensive, and then it limits me to what I want to say. And, you know, I just thought, I can't even explain myself. So I thought, you know what I prefer to be able to talk about it, and people that, you know, don't want to listen don't have to, and people that are interested can listen. But like I said, I've got some really interesting people in my life who I know could actually help a lot of people. They just don't have the platform for it. So I'm hoping to help them, you know, like you said, get, you know, help people share their platforms. That's something that I'm really interested in, because I've always found myself, and I've always called myself a connector. I connect really good people to good people. And this was just another opportunity for me to connect really good people to other people who might need their help, but have never maybe met or know of these people. So, and yeah, I think Instagram, you know, it's very, I feel like I'm a bit of a robot in a way on social media. I share a little bit of my personality, but not all of it. Whereas I hope on the podcast I can share a little bit more. So that's, I guess it's a selfish reason, isn't it?
But it's selfishly selfless, I think, because it puts that message out there for people. And one of the beauties of a podcast that I love is it's normally the kind of the only scenario where it's win-win-win, where two people generally get to have a great conversation and then anyone else listening on the outside can hopefully take loads from it. Mm-hmm. And everybody tends to win in it. I think that's why it's a platform that does so well. With sex episodes, will you bring your partner Coben on, or will you do them solo or with somebody else, or what's the plan on that? Because I think they're interesting. And I asked that very randomly, and less randomly than you would think, because a podcast I'm subscribed to, The Angry Therapist, one of the things I get so much benefit from is they're two psychologists, relationship experts, and they're together. They have a couple, they have a child, and they do podcasts where it's just the two of them kind of working through their relationship on the podcast. And I find it really engaging and really helpful. So I'm just curious if that's something that you're going to potentially do down the line. Because I know Coben puts out stuff on his social media as well. So I said I'd ask.
I did say to him, would he come on my podcast? But I'm not sure what we will talk about. But no, I think I know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think he's, I think we're kind of like, we're quite private about our private life, but we share, I guess we share how much we love each other. But yeah, I don't know. Not too sure. We'll have to see.
Is that a conversation you've had out of curiosity in terms of boundaries, that you don't share stuff online? And as someone that, I don't put up my daughter, I don't put up my partner, I don't put up my family at all. That's kind of my self-created boundary. But is that something you've discussed, where you've limited amount of stuff that you put up, or is it something that just kind of happened organically?
Yeah, I mean, I used to be very, very private about my private life. And actually, it's funny, like I noticed that I started sharing him a lot more. And I mean, I love sharing him. I think I love him. So I think, well, why would I not? Like, I spend, you know, most of my time with him anyway. But I guess it feels like it's enough. I share enough, but it's not a lot, I guess is a way of putting it. And I think it's like little glimmers. I share little glimmers, but it's still quite private.
But did you ever have a discussion to say, we're not going to do this? Or is it just, it's just obviously organic from what you're saying, is it?
Yeah, it was just organic. I think in the beginning, when we first started seeing each other, we really wanted to keep it quiet. You know, it just, I would get so, it was hard for me to not share in the end, because I was like, I just love this person and I just want to share it, like share how much I love this person. So I think it just started to happen organically. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's, again, as somebody that went the other side a bit more, this is a boundary that I've set up as opposed to it happening organically. It's always interesting to hear both sides in terms of your experience. I just have one final question, Hattie, and I've loved this episode and this podcast. And as I said, really looking forward to when your episodes are out in your podcast, because I'll definitely be checking into that too, because you've said stuff here that I would look forward to listening to you going a lot deeper on as well. So massive, massive pull and push to people to that. But the last question I have is kind of, we'll tie everything together here. If you could go back, Hattie, to 18, 19, your 20-year-old self, and you've done so much work over the years, your reflection, the journaling, the figuring out where your things are coming from, you're curious about yourself and where your thoughts are coming from. But what advice would you give a younger version of yourself? Not necessarily the exact you, because I know you probably wouldn't change. It's the butterfly effect. You wouldn't change it if you could go back, because you are who you are because of what's happened. But to somebody that's in that 20-year-old mindset, or 24, 25-year-old mindset, sometimes it's relative based on age, depending on the person's experience. What advice would you give a version of yourself from, you know, age 20 to say 25, pick any time within that period? What would be the best piece of advice you'd offer?
Look after yourself. I could just look at myself and just say, look after yourself. I guess, you know, life really happens to us when we know who we are and we develop our own boundaries and our own values and we become aware of where we spend our time and who we spend it with. You know, I always say that, you know, people worry about their time because we can't make time back. Money can take time back. But you can make money. The money that you spend, you can make it back. So I guess to go back to look at myself, it would be, you know, look after yourself and quit playing small. That's something I always say to myself, quit playing small. Don't play small because you're scared of how someone else might feel. I think if I could go back in time and, oh God, I'd love to be my own mentor. I wish I had a mentor when I was that young. But that would be it. I mean, a part of me goes, I had to learn the lessons that I went through. But, yeah, to look after myself, I mean, if we look after something, we nurture it, right? We give it all love and care. We make sure it's okay. I never looked after myself and thought I was okay. I just did whatever it could to not feel a certain way. So I think that would be my advice to myself.
Fantastic way to finish this podcast. And I think that quit playing small is very powerful in terms of genius and simplicity for whatever that looks like for people listening in terms of your own life. Hattie, as I said, I've really enjoyed this conversation. So much we've touched on, and I'm really looking forward to listening back. For everybody listening though, where's the best place for them to connect with you? I will link the new podcast in the show notes, so people can head over and subscribe and follow off the bat. But where's the best place for people to follow you? Is it through the website, through Instagram? Any of those links you want to give, please give now.
Hattie Boydell is probably the best one to follow me on. And if you're interested in coaching, it's the underscore sports model underscore project.
And for everybody listening, I will link out everything we talked about in today's podcast. I will link out the website, Hattie's Instagram. Head over there and give her a follow if you're not doing so already. And in the description to wherever you are listening to podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, etc. Hattie, thank you so much again. Keep inspiring. Keep doing what you're doing. I'll chat to you real soon.
Thank you.
There you have it, WBFF world champion Hattie Boydell on gut health, body positivity, and improving relationship with self, amongst a lot of other things. Unbelievable episode. I'm really, really grateful we got to have this conversation. And I'm also looking forward to pulling out my top three takeaways from this episode. For those of you who want those takeaways, just head over to briankeenfitness.com. Head on to the homepage and to the newsletter. Every Thursday, I send out to my email list and the newsletter my top three takeaways from that week's podcast. So a lot to pick from for this episode with Hattie. So if you want that, just head over and make sure you're subscribed and you'll get it into your inbox every Thursday at lunchtime. And as always, if you enjoyed this podcast, pop it up on your Instagram stories and you can tag myself and Hattie on there. That's everything from this week's episode. Catch you all next Monday.